to Titus. It's, if you're visiting with us today, you'll find a pew Bible in the seat in front of you. It will be on page 1181. For the rest of you, we'll be in Titus chapter 2. That's where we'll be starting today. Tomorrow I have the opportunity, tomorrow and Tuesday, to meet with probably about 12 other pastors. And we have been studying 2 Timothy together for a couple months. And I'm involved in this ministry. It's called Pathways. And basically what Pathways is a ministry whereby they're teaching American pastors how to study our Bibles more thoroughly so that we can teach better. But the ultimate goal is for us then to go to Africa, perhaps go to South America, and meet with other pastors from these countries who don't have the formal education and the tools that we have here in America. And so our goal is to go to these pastors that are maybe tucked away in some small village or some small community in Africa and teach them how to read their Bibles so that they can turn around on Sunday morning and feed their congregation. And in the midst of this, we've all been studying 2 Timothy, which is a pastoral epistle. And I've been spending a lot of time in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. And if you'll take your Bible and maybe grab those pages there, if you'll do that with me, grab those pages. So start in 1 Timothy and then grab through Titus. And in my Bible, what you'll discover, it's 9 pages. Okay? It's 9 pages. It's 13 chapters. And in those 9 pages, in those 13 pages, what you will find, or what I have found, is that the Apostle Paul, writing to these two pastors, Timothy and Titus, he uses over 62 times these words. Teach, teachers, teaching, taught, learning, and sound doctrine. Over 62 times in 13 chapters. What do you think Paul's trying to teach these young pastors? He's trying to teach them how to teach. He's trying to teach them what to teach and what to teach to whom. And he's just going over this and over this again and again and again. This is a major theme that Paul is hammering on. And basically what he's saying is, I want you two preachers to know this. Your job is to know the Scriptures, to understand the Scriptures, and then turn around and teach the Scriptures. That is your job. And he goes over it again and again and again. And I would tell anybody who's thinking about one day going in the ministry or being involved in church leadership, read these books until your eyes bleed, okay? Just read them over and over and over again. These are essential books for knowing how to lead in a church. And so anyway, we're doing a series right now. It's called God's Blueprint for Ministry. Been doing this for about 6 weeks. And, you know, just as a building needs a solid foundation to stand, a church needs a solid foundation as well. And according to God's blueprint, that solid foundation is rightly teaching His Word. Does that make sense? You know, if you're going to build a building, the first thing you do is you put in a nice solid cement slab. If you're going to build a church, the first thing you do is you build a solid foundation by teaching God's Word rightly. And so let's turn to Titus chapter 2. I want to read our verse that we're going to start off with. Chapter 2, verse 1. Paul writes, "You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine." You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. And then in the next about 8 verses there, he uses the word teach about 5 more times. So he's really trying to hammer home on this point. John MacArthur, Pastor John MacArthur, a man I respect very much, said this. He says, "Doctrine matters. What you believe about God, the gospel, the nature of man, and every major truth addressed in Scripture filters down into every area of your life. You and I will never rise above our view of God and our understanding of His Word. Doctrine matters. Another man that I respect very much, his name is Al Mohler, says this. He says, when denominations begin to consider doctrine divisive, theology troublesome, and convictions inconvenient, consider that denomination on its way to a well-deserved death. And we see this, I mean, as we look out over the landscape, the religious landscape today, the major mainline denominations that are abandoning doctrine, their churches are emptying out all over the place. And those buildings are becoming less and less full week after week. So here's a question for you. What is sound doctrine? What is sound doctrine? And how do we know when we're hearing sound doctrine? I want to answer that one a little bit later. But what is sound doctrine? The word sound doctrine comes from two words. The first word is the word from which we get hygiene, hygienic. In other words, what sound doctrine is it's something that is life-giving, it's healthy. It's something, when you say that somebody is really healthy, you say they have a sound bill of health. Sound doctrine is life-giving teaching. Okay, the second word is a word that we would call teaching, and you put the two words together, what you get is this, is that sound doctrine is healthy teaching, life-giving teaching, it's solid, it's uncorrupted truth, it's clean. It's clean. Okay? And so the goal of every biblical teacher, Sunday school teacher, you know, for children or adults, youth teacher, pastors, whatever, our goal is to give you things that are sound, that are going to make you spiritually healthy. Are you with me? That's what we're here for. I was talking with somebody who is going to become a new member here very, very shortly, and he was telling us a story. He said that, whether the story is true or not, I don't know, but the story goes like this. Man and a wife had two teenage kids, and they wanted to go see a movie. And they were asking about the movie, and they said, well, we don't really think that's a good movie for you. And the teenager said, well, you know, everybody else is going. There's not that much bad in it. And so the next day, the dad made a pan of brownies for him. And he brought his two teenagers in and sat them down, had a nice big cold glass of milk there, a nice big cold glass of milk there, two plates with brownies on them. He says, kids, I want to let you know I made you some brownies today. I want to let you know that, you know, they're 95% brownie mix. But 5% of them, just a little bit amount, went out in the backyard and scooped up some of our dog stuff and incorporated that in the brownies. And the kids go, oh, yuck, Dad. And so the dad said to him, well, it's not that bad. It's 95% good. You know, when it comes to doctrine, what we want is 100% sound hygienic teaching. Are you with me? That's what we're looking for. So let me tell you four facts about sound doctrine. Number one, sound doctrine, healthy teaching is our priority. It's our priority. In Titus chapter 2, verse 1, Paul writes, you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. In other words, you must teach things that line up with the Bible and with truth. You must do that. And let me give you a few reasons why you must do it. Number one is because our faith is based on a specific message. A specific message. Paul said this. He said, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. You know, our eternal destiny depends upon hearing the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, believing it, and accepting it. And so we have to teach a message that is fit around the gospel. Let me give you another reason. Sound doctrine, life-giving teaching, is important because the gospel is a sacred trust, and we dare not tamper with it or change it. So go into your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, a few pages to your left. And we're just going to stay in these nine pages today. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. Paul writes to this young pastor, Timothy. He says, Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care, Turn away from godless chatter and opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed, and in so doing have wandered from the faith. He says, Timothy, this is what you're to do. You are to guard this message. You are to step in front of it and make sure that nobody that's bringing opposing ideas, that their ideas can go before the gospel. You're to guard it. In other words, what he's saying is that you're not to add to it, you're not to subtract from it, and you're not to change it. You're to guard it. It's a sacred trust that's been given to you. Number three, sound doctrine is important because what we believe affects what we do. That makes sense? This morning you got in your car and you put your key in your ignition and you turned the key right because you believed it would start the car. This morning when you got up and you got up out of your bed, you went and you turned on the light switch. You did that, what? Because you believed that would turn on the lights. Okay, we live what we believe, and everything else is religious talk. And so that's why it's important. Number four, sound doctrine, life-giving doctrine is important because we need to know what is true while we navigate our way through the world. Isn't that right? Okay, so many of us travel into Madison probably on a daily basis, and we use the interstate there. How many of you have been in a situation where you are traveling perhaps at night through a snowstorm and you can barely see and the lines are covered on the interstate and you're going about 40 miles an hour because you can't see where you're going. You don't know what lane you're in. And you look in your rearview mirror and you see a semi coming up behind you at about 75 miles an hour. You get a little scared, don't you? And so immediately it becomes very, very important for you to know where those lines are. And in the very same way, as we go through life, as we navigate through life, we have to know where the lines are. And for us to know where the lines are, we need to know sound doctrine. There's one other reason I want to give to you on this first point, and that is this. Sound doctrine is important because it's encouraging. Go to Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. We're just going to flip through these pages. And so Paul writes, for a spiritual leader in the church, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine. So a spiritual leader in the church, what he needs to do is hold on firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught. And as we do that, what we're able to do is encourage people by truth. We can say, you know what, this is right, this is wrong, I encourage you to do this, I discourage you to do that. And so it's very, very important. I mean, we all want to know truth. You mothers, you want your kids to know truth, right? You want them to know that if you put your hand on the stove and it's hot, you're going to get burned. You want them to know that, don't you, moms? You want them to know that if you're going to go out and play in a busy street, you might get run over. We want you to know the truth. If you go to the doctor and you have a mass someplace on your body and he does a biopsy on that, you want him at the end of that to tell you the truth. Isn't that right? When I look over my bank statements, I want my bank statement to tell me the truth. When I am dealing with a real estate agent and I'm about to buy a home, I want him to tell me the truth. I want the guy who inspects my home to tell me the truth. In the very same way, when we're talking about spiritual leaders, we want them to know the truth and to tell the truth. When you get on an airplane, do you want that pilot to know the truth about flying? And do you want him then to live out the truth as he lands that airplane? In the very same way, we want our pastors and our teachers and our spiritual leaders to give us the truth. Paul says to Titus, you must teach what is in accordance with sound doctrine. Number two, sound doctrine, healthy teaching is the pattern for the church. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. pattern. Paul writes, "What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." What you heard from me, Timothy, keep that as the pattern of sound teaching. And so we all know the story. Timothy was a very bright young man. He was a disciple of Jesus Christ. And Paul was traveling through the community in which he lived. He was about 15 years old. And people said, "Paul, you got to meet this guy. His name is Timothy. He's really young. He's really bright." And so Paul comes and he meets Timothy. And he says, "You know what, Timothy, I'd like for you to come along on a missionary journey with me." And so basically for about 15 years, what Timothy did is he followed Paul around. And Timothy heard Paul's sermons over and over and over again. You know, as he argued with the Jewish leaders, you know, Timothy sat there and he watched and he listened. Oh, here we go again. And as he reasoned with the Greek philosophers, Timothy was there and he was listening. And over a period of time, what Timothy did, he saw, hey, there's a pattern to Paul's teaching. You know, he teaches the same thing in the same way time and time again. As a matter of fact, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he says this. He's getting ready to send Timothy on to the Corinthians, and he says this, "For this reason, I'm sending to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. And he is going to remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere and in every church." Okay, Timothy's been traveling with me so much, he knows exactly how I live. He's going to live just like I live. He's a chip off the old block. And he's going to come to you there in Corinth, and you're going to see how he lives. And not only that, he's going to say the very same things that I say everywhere in every church. And why is Timothy going to do that? Because he knows the pattern. He's been with Paul over and over and over again, and Paul teaches the same thing, the same way, in every church, everywhere. There's a pattern. There's a pattern. You know, if I were to give this message to a group of high school students, I'd probably change it a little bit, because I know their attention span's shorter. And so what I would do is the content would remain the same, but the delivery would change with the context, right? And so let's say you were to take this message and you were to teach it to some second and third graders, right? Okay, I wouldn't change the content, but my delivery would change significantly because of the context. I'm teaching second and third graders. What a great challenge. In the same way, that's what Paul did. He'd always give the same message, but he might deliver it in a different way because of the context. Pastor, how do we know if what we're hearing is sound doctrine? How do we know that? One of the ways that you know it is, does it line up with what Paul teaches everywhere? Does it line up? Is it consistent with the pattern? Another question that you might have is, does it line up with what Jesus teaches? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's look at verses 3 and 4. Does it line up with what Jesus teaches? So Paul writes, "You know, if anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and he understands nothing." And then he goes on and talks a little bit about that guy. But does it line up with what Jesus teaches? You know, at my former church, we had a family that came and they joined us for a while, and they were great people. But it was coming time for baptisms, and they told me that, you know, you really ought not be teaching people to get baptized. I'm like, what? And they said, well, no, but you shouldn't do that because, you know, what Jesus taught was Old Testament. Jesus was talking about the kingdom, and Jesus was talking specifically to the Jewish nation. And so I've had people in the past, you know, when I'm teaching something out of the Gospels, they, you can't teach that. I say, why not? They say, well, that's because Jesus is teaching the kingdom. That no longer applies. You can only teach what Paul teaches from Romans on back, because that all pertains to the church. Does that sound like sound teaching? Thank you. So one of the ways that we can tell if we're hearing sound teaching or not is, does it line up with the pattern of Paul? Does it line up with the pattern of Jesus? Does it line up with the meshing of the Old Testament, the New Testament, and how they come together? 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching, reproving, correcting, instructing in righteousness, so that every man and woman can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Go to 2 Timothy 2:2. Let's just look at that pattern again. 2 Timothy 2:2. I love this verse. I love this verse. Paul writes to Timothy, and the things that you heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. So what was Timothy to do? He was to take the things that he had heard Paul say over and over and over again in the presence of many witnesses, and then he was to turn around and teach those things to other men. There's that pattern. There's the pattern. Titus 1:9, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught. And in other words, there's a pattern, there's a measuring stick. And, you know, so when I want to know what 3 feet is, what do you do? You get out a measuring stick. And so you know that time after time after time again, this is the pattern. This lets me know what 3 feet is. And sometimes what we'll do is we'll get out a tape measure and I go like this to find out, well, what is 3 feet? And, oh, it's the same size as that stick. I see a pattern. When I want to bake a cake, which never ever happens, but, you know what, I'd use a measuring cup, right? And so that I know each and every time that this is 1 cup of sugar. This is 1 cup of flour. And so, you know, when we're looking at sound doctrine, one of the things that we know is that it corresponds with what Paul taught, it corresponds with what Jesus taught, you know, it lines up with the scriptures. It lines up with the scriptures. My job is not to come up with anything that is new. You know, and I like to say, if it's new, it's not true. There is no such thing as new revelation. Okay? I'm not going to come and tell you that God told me, and we're going to add this to the scripture. My job is not to be a writer of the Bible, not to be an editor of the Bible. My job is to be a newspaper boy, okay? And my job is just to deliver it to the front door. That's my job. We have a pattern to follow. Another thing, sound doctrine and healthy teaching matters, because it produces right living. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. It produces right living. Verse 12. Paul writes to this young pastor. He says this, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. But set an example for believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. In these 5 areas, what you're to do is set an example. Until I come, Timothy, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that was given to you through the prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. In other words, what I like to say is those who teach learn most. And so you ask our Sunday school teachers, you know, what are you learning? They go, I'm learning a lot. Isn't that right, Jonathan? Those who teach learn most. And then he goes on and he says this, be diligent in these matters, give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. The more we learn about sound doctrine, the more it's going to affect the way that we live. One man put it this way. There is a direct line that runs from our doctrine to our actions, from what is in our minds to what is in our words and our ways. The heart spills over into life. Thoughts of God and all else erupt into acts. The filling of the heart with wise thoughts of God becomes the most important, the most practical business in the world. So what we believe about God will eventually affect our actions. I have a friend, his name is Mike, and he's been getting together with young men for about 30-some years. And Mike leads them through a study on just who God is. And so he takes out hundreds of verses in the Bible that talks about the fact that God is sovereign, God is righteous, God is just, God is this, God is that. And he's running these men through these things, just studying God. And one day, a wife came up to him of one of his students and said to Mike, she said, "Mike, what are you teaching, you know, the guys about marriage?" She says, my husband, our marriage is being transformed. What are you teaching about marriage?" Mike says, "I'm not teaching them anything about marriage. I'm just teaching them about God. I'm just teaching them about God." And as he teaches them about God, what happens is their marriage is being transformed, because our life will eventually match what we truly believe, our doctrine. A.W. Tozer says this: "The most important thing about you is what you believe about God. The most important thing about you is what you believe about God." And we got Pat Gilbert. He's going to be speaking here on March 8th. And I already talked to him about it. And Pat says, well, basically what I'm going to tell them when they come is that, you know, we live what we believe. So you guys don't have to come on the 8th, okay? No, come. Pat's an excellent communicator. So one more thing. Sound doctrine and healthy teaching is to be handed down. That is our purpose. That's our purpose for existence here in the church. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. This is a very important verse to me. Paul writes, "Timothy, the things that you heard me say in the presence of many witnesses." So it's going from Paul to the witnesses to Timothy. "Entrust to reliable men," down another layer, "four, who will also be qualified to teach others." We see five layers there. Paul saying essentially this: Timothy, what you need to do, what you heard me say to these guys, you picked it up as well. You find some reliable men who are going to be qualified to teach others. In other words, it's to go from generation to generation to generation to generation. The same thing for the women. This is our purpose for existing. This is why we have Awana. This is why we have Sunday school. This is why we have children's church. This is why we have VBS. This is why we have youth ministry. This is why we do what we're doing here this morning. So that we can hear the things that Paul told to Timothy, and then we can turn around and entrust them to other people. This is our purpose for existence. And the thing that we're to teach is sound doctrine. We don't want to just teach anything, and we definitely don't want to teach things that aren't true. Would you want your kids to learn things that aren't true in the youth ministry? In children's church? No, what we're to be teaching is things that are true. Because sound doctrine leads to healthy living, and it gives us life. Our last child, as all of you know, is named Johnny Mack. His proper name is Jonathan Mack. And the reason we named him that is because it rhymes with Zach and Jack, okay? So, Zach, Jack, and Johnny Mack. But all of our children have one biblical name. And so we named him after Jonathan. And the reason we named him after Jonathan is that Jonathan was a good friend to King David. And just how important it is to be a good friend. But then in the back of my mind, I had some other reasons. For those of you who are basketball players, you know a guy named John McLaughlin, right? Great basketball player. And for those of you that remember John McEnroe, great tennis player, remember that? And then one of my favorite Bible teachers, a good, solid Bible teacher is John MacArthur. So, got multiple reasons. We got all of our bases covered on what Johnny Mac might be one day, okay? Kind of hoping for the professional basketball player, so that'll be my retirement program. But I was reading about John MacArthur this week, and John MacArthur's grandfather became a Christian, and then after that he became a pastor. And then his son, Jack MacArthur, became a preacher, a sound Bible teacher, and had a very great ministry many, many years ago. And so John MacArthur grew up listening to his grandfather and listening to his father. And he said that, you know, when you grow up as a preacher's kid, you hear thousands of sermons. And some of them you hear more than once. And he said, you know, over the years, what had happened to him is that some of that stuck. This is what he wrote. He said, it was my father's preaching that made it the greatest impact. You don't grow up to be a pastor's son without hearing a few thousand sermons, some more than once. And when I may have occasionally nodded off in the pew, much of what I heard stuck. In fact, a few of his sermons stand out clearly in my mind to this day. What I found as I watched, and what has had the most profound influence over me, was that my father's life rang true. His attitudes and his actions didn't change according to where he was or whom he was with. He lived the same standard he had encouraged his family and his congregation to embrace, and by doing so, he refused to give us an excuse to compromise. In a word, what he taught me was integrity. So apparently, Jack MacArthur watched his life and his doctrine closely because his son got it. You know, that would be my dream. That would be my goal. But here's my goal for my children and the children of New Hope. My goal is that they would follow God's path for them, whatever that may be. But my hope for them and for all the young people of New Hope is that they would hear consistently sound doctrine in Sunday school, that they would hear consistently sound doctrine in youth group, at Awana and from this pulpit, and then that they would see the result of that sound doctrine. They would see godly living and the lives of the people in our congregation being demonstrated from everyone who calls New Hope Church their home church. And therefore, what would happen is that we would hand it off to the next generation. Are you with me? So here's some application for you. Number one, do you know your Bible well enough that you can tell the difference between sound doctrine and false doctrine? And that isn't always easy. I mean, we remember when Satan came to Eve in Genesis chapter 3, and he said to her, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Sometimes it just takes a little twist for sound doctrine to become false doctrine. And so what we need to do is we need to study our Bibles. It says in 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. That should be our goal. That should be our goal. We should open up God's word every day and study it. We should listen to solid teaching, not cultural teaching. We should read solid and sound authors. We should get involved in a Bible study with people who are further ahead of us, solid people who are teaching sound teaching, and that should be our goal. That should be our goal. Let's pray. Father, we want to build a solid foundation here at New Hope. We want to build something that truly represents who you are and what you desire in this community. Father, we want to see the people in our church grow more and more in solid teaching and understanding of your word so that it would be seen more and more in their lives. And Lord, we desire to hand this off to the next generation. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn more and more what life-giving teaching looks like and what it sounds like. And I pray these things in Christ's name.